Yes, here we are at Upstate Warrior Solutions. 770 Pelham Road, as I try to get the volume right. Is that too loud? Okay, just sounds loud to me. And I'm here, and thankfully, she didn't get too upset with me for this, but I'm here with Annika Zolke King.
Yes.
Of the Greenville Symphony Orchestra. Totally butchered that name first time around, didn't I?
That's okay.
I mean, was that as bad as it can get?
I've probably heard worse.
I mean, I only got the King part right.
At least you tried the part.
Yeah.
Some people just give up.
Now, the Greenville Symphony is partnered with Upstate Warrior Solutions, huh?
Yes, we've been partnering with them for 3 years now. It's been a great partnership. We have a group that comes and plays during their Operation Christmas Blessings.
Right.
And we get to play and meet lots of families and kids as they come and do the circuit and
right.
get their gifts and...
So you set up in here?
Yeah, we do.
What,
yep.
out there in
kinda
the lobby?
Kind of towards the lobby near the doors.
How many pieces?
We kind of have an infinite number of Christmas pieces that we run through. But
sure. Well, I'm talking about how many instruments, I guess.
So the first year we had a violinist and a keyboardist,
right.
a duo. Last year we had a string quartet. And then this year we're going to have a woodwind quintet, so five people. We might end up going upstairs.
Because so there's going to be some bassoons out there?
Just bassoon, horn, flute, clarinet, and oboe.
Nice. Now, how did this come about? I mean, I've been aware of Greenville Symphony for a very long time, and I had no idea that you guys were partnered with them, and I've been doing the remotes out here for 2 years. How did this come about?
I'm not really sure. I think we had someone on our board that recommended we get in touch, and I met Virginia Barnes, and it just kind of came from that. We're trying to start more partnerships with as many groups in our community
sure.
as we can, and this has been a really easy and fun one to do, and we're really pleased to be a part of it.
Well, I'm pleased that you're a part of it. I had no idea. I like classical music. I like ballet, as I was saying. I'll be talking to them later on next week, I think.
Nice.
As we come up on time for the Nutcracker. Now, how active is the Greenville Symphony?
It's kind of a mix. We have big orchestra concerts, maybe one or two a month at the
right.
Peace Center or the smaller Gunter Theater. And then we have smaller chamber groups, like the one that's going to be playing here, that go out in the community, and we also play at elementary schools. So actually this morning I was in a brass trio, and we played at Berea and Armstrong Elementary. And our woodwind quintet was at two other schools. Our percussionist,
right.
we try to cover every public elementary school in the county, which is 53. So
yeah,
there's a lot of them. And then we try to work with the youth orchestras in town, some middle school programs, colleges. And then, you know, we try to do a few what we call pop-up concerts where we go to different places like a brewery or the library or on the street and just get out there and have people hear us.
Well, and the reason I ask this is, you know, just based off of what I hear with Nutcracker mm-hmm. with the Greenville Symphony. I mean, you guys are as good as anybody in New York.
Well, thank you.
Boston.
Yeah.
Russia?
Oh.
Like, what's his name? Valery Sergeyev or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, the sounds, if it's enough to where you could overlay one on top of the other, and you wouldn't be able to pick one from the other.
Well, thank you. I'd say in the modern era, there's so many qualified, good musicians out there, and there's not as many jobs, so we're all very happy to be playing together for people.
Now, one thing I've always wondered about, at the end of the Nutcracker, where I want to get out there and just say, man, you were the best violinist out of the whole group. The musicians are out of there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I don't know, like earthquake's happening or something. They are gone. I mean, how early do you have to get there and get ready to go?
Well, we have a few days of rehearsals ahead
right.
of time. And then before a performance starts, we probably, some people get there an hour ahead of time. I tend to get there 30 minutes before. String players need less time to warm up, so they're kind of the last ones trickling in. But winds and brass get there really early to warm up and do stuff. But you know, for the Nutcracker in particular, we come in through like a back door,
right?
And we have to leave through that back door as well.
Right.
So
yeah, but you're seen briefly on the street as you're exiting,
yes.
Looking around.
You can tell we're the ones wearing all black,
clutching the French horn case.
Yeah.
And running for your life. Yeah, I get a good kick out of that. Now, you guys recently made a change with the Greenville Symphony where now you have a new conductor.
Yes.
Now, I don't remember his name. What's his name?
His name is Lee Mills.
Right.
And he's pretty young. I think he's 35, 36. He's originally from Montana.
Right.
And he won the whole audition process. So we had about 161 applicants, which we narrowed down to about 25, and then we narrowed it down to 6 finalists.
Right.
And all 6 of those finalists came and conducted the symphony about 2 years ago.
So who picked him? The symphony?
The orchestra members, the board, and we even polled the audiences.
Right.
So.
Now, he doesn't live here, does he?
He lives here part-time. He has an apartment downtown.
Right.
And then he spends some of his time in California, Palm Springs.
Because he's very, I mean, because you guys aren't as busy as you should be.
Yeah, we would.
He's pretty busy. He's out there, mm-hmm, doing things all over the place.
Yeah, right? He's conducted just, I think, in the last month or two. He's conducted in Scotland and Denmark and California, and I'm not even keeping track of wherever else.
And I'm sure everybody there that he's conducted with sounds probably at least as good as you guys. But I mean, that's what I don't understand. I don't understand about the Greenville Symphony. I mean, you guys are just that good, and it doesn't seem like anybody's aware of that.
Well, we're doing our best to get our name out there more.
Yeah.
And thank you for helping.
Like on International Ballet, mm-hmm, when on Nutcracker Night, you got world-class ballet dancers up there in the leads. You got a world-class symphony playing the music behind it. And, you know, everybody's there watching. They're like, this is great. And everybody else out there is like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, well, so our very first concert with Lee as music director, it was right after Hurricane Helene.
Right.
We were able to do a projection and simulcast outside behind the Peace Center, you know, that TD amphitheater.
Right.
So we were able to
broadcast
it for free for everyone. But unfortunately, that costs lots of money for
it
all
does.
That equipment. And so we can't do that on a regular basis unless we find an
everybody
amazing
should be
sponsor.
Paying to see you guys anyway. Everybody should be paying to see you guys anyway. So is the next thing coming up for you guys, International Ballet?
Almost. We actually have a concert this weekend,
okay,
with our old conductor, Edgar Chiesel. He's conductor emeritus. And we're doing An American in Paris by George Gershwin, The Candide Overture by Leonard Bernstein,
right,
and then Symphonic Dances by Sergei Rachmaninoff. So it's going to be a really fun program. And then the next thing will be Nutcracker. And then we have our own Holiday of Peace concert where we've got 3 Broadway singers, and it's going to be kind of styled in a USO style,
okay,
World War II.
You're going to have the Andrews Sisters haircuts?
We're going to do the sister song and
okay,
White Christmas, so
okay,
we've got a little bit of that going
okay
on. And I just want to say that we will have a 10% discount for veterans for Holiday at Peace, and then later in January our Harry Potter production.
So if they go to the Peace Center, is that on the there's a
that's at the box
pop-up
office.
If they're buying tickets,
mm-hmm,
online. Okay.
And then for all of our regular concerts, like the one this weekend, we have a 50% veterans discount.
There you go.
So
very nice.
I encourage everybody to come check us out.
Annika Zolke King, everybody should be checking you guys out. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I enjoyed that. Next up is Phyllis Dunn. She is a recording artist, and she is with Instruments of Hope. And she's Upstate Warrior Solutions partner. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD. I guess I need to get some white out or something for this. So I hit it the right way all the time, each time, every time. I'm at the Upstate Warrior Solutions, 770 Pelham Road, Rupert Hughes Building. Joined now by Phyllis Dunn.
Hi.
So you are a recording artist.
Yes.
Okay. Would I know any of your stuff? I love music, so.
So I was a recording artist probably 20, 30 years back, and it was in the days when we self-produced.
Okay.
So if you went on Google, you might still find a Done Deal, Done Loving You,
Play on
Joyously
Words.
Like Done.
It. Yeah, yeah. I'll be looking for that later on today. I will indeed. Anyway, you are, you teach music here.
Correct.
And you use music. It's not just about hitting the right note, breathing the right way. It's more about the benefits of music, isn't it?
Yes. Learning how to communicate
right.
and to feel your feelings and express those to your audience.
So most people, like I've interviewed Ted Nugent a number of times. Nobody can breathe like that guy. I can ask him a question and turn myself down and walk away and make a sandwich and renegotiate my mortgage and do a whole bunch of other things in the amount of time he's talking. He never takes a breath. But he's never abused his lungs or anything like this. And singing is actually a lot about breathing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A lot about breathing.
And controlling the breathing.
Correct.
But it also is a lot about posture. Now, this interests me a great deal. How does posture impact somebody's ability to carry a tune?
Well, your diaphragm has to have room to expand.
Right.
And so in order to do that, you need to have good posture. You need to be sitting or standing straight so that the posture has, the diaphragm has that room to expand.
Have you ever seen anybody that is any good at singing that doesn't have good posture? I've never looked, to be honest. I've never made that connection.
No.
I
never
Not
have.
Not surprising.
And if you think about America's Got Talent or The Voice or any of those, watch the people on the stage, they have great posture.
Another thing I've noticed, and I don't see it on here, but I want to ask you about this because I've heard that the pathway to remaining sharp mentally as you age is being able to hear and being able to catch those sounds. Why is it that I see very few singers catch early onset dementia? Is it because of all of these senses they've developed over time to hear what they're doing?
Definitely,
yeah.
Yes. You're using a lot of your senses in order to be able to sing. So you have to be able to hear, you have to be able to read the music, you have to breathe properly. And so your circulation is improved, you're getting more oxygen to the brain. All of those things work together to help keep you young and able.
Yeah. So as you're teaching school, you're talking about reading music. Do you teach them to read music here?
I don't teach it in the singing class,
right.
but I do teach it in the piano class.
I've always heard, I mean, even Prince would tell everybody out there, if you really want to be a musician, learn how to play the piano. Is that like the gateway to being a musician?
Yes, it is. Because you're reading both treble clef and bass clef, high notes and low notes. You're learning your rhythm. You're learning chords and harmony. So once you know all of that, you can go to any other instrument, and you've already have the foundation for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know with him, there for a while, he was recording every instrument himself, so it's not surprising to hear that. Now, we're talking about improved brain function, which I thought you had not addressed it, and actually you have. So enhanced cognitive skills like memory and problem solving. Is this where that kind of, is it like doing puzzles and everything, all these other little tricks that we try to do to keep our mind sharp? Is it all built into becoming a musician if you wanted to go that route?
Yes.
Wow.
So once you are learning to read music, you start to learn how to read patterns and to recognize symbols. And if you know patterns, then you can start looking at your life. And if you have any negative patterns that you need to eliminate, if you have new positive patterns that you want to start,
right.
This is going to help you to do that.
I guess it's all those musicians that forget that part, isn't it? I've been watching a lot of videos about the 27 Club. You know what I'm talking about? All the musicians that died at the age of 27?
Yes.
Well, and for people like that, for people that young that have that kind of talent, is that natural? Is that just part of being them? They're not classically trained or anything?
Some people are born with a gift for music.
Right.
And, you know, you think about Mozart concertizing at the age of 4 and composing. And other people can go a whole life and not develop their abilities. But everybody has the capability of having some degree of music in their life.
Now, here's something, and I don't understand this, so you're going to have to explain this to me. First of all, I have meditated, lost in the moment, living in the now, right? Then there's therapeutic emotional release, and then delayed gratification, how to eat an elephant.
So how do you eat an elephant?
I would imagine it'd be very slowly.
It would be one bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
So some people think they're going to sit down and instantly be able to play the piano.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
No.
It takes time. You have to learn one step at a time, and you have to put the pieces together before you can play a song.
So for somebody that wanted to come to you and learn music, are there some people out there that just don't have the aptitude that come to you? Or is there something out there for them? If they want to learn the piano, maybe it's going to be a different instrument. Maybe they're going to be a singer. I mean, is there some? Does everybody have some sort of musical aptitude to them?
I think there's an instrument for everybody.
Right.
You just have to find out what it was. In my husband's case, we've been married 56 years now. He was never interested in piano
right.
or voice, but he found the didgeridoo, which is an Aboriginal Australian wind instrument. And he plays that now, so you never know.
Is that the one that makes that weird sound
yes.
that I hear in all of the Crocodile Dundee movies?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Now, you have quite the syllabus going on for voice lessons. You give this Saturday from noon until 2.
Correct.
Here at the Rupert Hughes Veterans Center. And it's group singing and individual instruction now. Is all of that built into one, or do you have, like, individual students that you do teach privately? Or
no, it's all in one. It's like a master class situation. We start off and we do warm-ups together, or we might learn to sing a song together. But then the individuals come up and sing a solo one. So they're learning to build their self-confidence to be able to get in front of an audience and perform. And the students are going to perform at the Christmas party here.
Right. Now, I got to ask this just because part of your stuff is you're teaching articulation. Could you have done anything with Gene Autry? Did he have articulation? And he said, you know, I got to have a shtick here. I got to have a hook to make everybody listen to me. Is that what he did?
Probably. You know, everybody has to have an angle.
Sure. Absolutely.
And we work on articulation, and you can do that just by counting and focusing on the final consonants. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many people put a V on 5?
Nobody.
6, 7, 8.
Even in the military, they tell, I think it's 5. But that's just so we can all hear it, because they don't say the 5. That's, you know. Let's not muddle this up, shall we? Phyllis Dunn, she is she's a recording artist. She runs Instruments of Hope here at Upstate Warrior Solutions. Saturday noon to 2. I guess if they want to get involved with you, they call them and hook up with you.
Correct.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Coming up next, it's going to be Todd Carpenter and Kevin McKean, Vets Helping Vets Spartanburg. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. All right, we are here at Upstate Warrior Solutions, 770 Pelham Road. Still got food happening. Still got food happening. Joined now by from Vets Helping Vets Spartanburg by Todd Carpenter, Secretary, yep. and Kevin McKean, President. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Turns out that Todd and I, Todd was related to a longtime young lady that we partied with a lot back in the 80s. We were trying to party like it was 1999, and we didn't know it was going to be better in the 80s.
So I got you.
I understand. I understand, you know, Vets Helping Vets is a very storied group of things. When you look at where the VA is supposed to be, right?
Right.
They're not where they're supposed to be, and it takes organizations like Vets Helping Vets to step into the breach to help some guys just get services from time to time.
Right.
Now, how big is the group out of Spartanburg?
We are what? Probably 40, 45 folks.
Yeah, right now I'm about 45. We're 1 year old now.
Right. So, that, and I would presume that's that size because of your age. Right?
Well, yeah.
Because this is a very big veteran corridor. In the southeast,
exactly.
Upstate of South Carolina is huge as far as veterans are concerned. So, how did you get the word out to begin with that you guys were there?
Well, primarily word of mouth, right?
Yeah. Backing up just a little bit, Bill.
Todd, take this and push this up.
Okay.
There you go.
I was originally part of Vets Helping Vets Anderson.
Right.
And I spent a couple of years down there and then decided that, you know, hey, we need to move to Greenville. So myself and three other men started the Greenville Vets Helping Vets. And then from there, after about 3 years, took a team and went to Spartanburg and started the Vets Helping Vets Spartanburg there.
Right.
So that's kind of how we're not affiliated, meaning we don't have a parent organization that we just all share.
So is it more of a template that you operate under?
Yep. Yeah, I created a template for the expansion group. That's what we called it. So anybody could take that and then go and start another group. The original idea was to start one in every county in the upstate.
Right.
We're still moving towards that, but it's going to take a little longer than we thought.
Well, I mean, where's the breakoff point? Where, when you say, okay, we got 75 people now, let's move on to the next county. Where's the point where you guys say, time to go to the next place?
I don't know that there is a breakoff point. I think it's a case where when we as a group feel comfortable with what we're doing and how many people we're doing it for, how many projects we're getting done, and if we have the people who are interested in expanding out to, let's say, Pickens or whatever the next county is, if the bandwidth is there in terms of personnel to go ahead and actually go out there and start this using the template that Todd and his buddies put in place, then we're all in if we can do that. I think the reason why you started in Spartanburg was, from what I heard, there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 46,000 veterans just in Spartanburg County alone.
Right.
And it was too far for them to go to Greenville, well too far for them to go to Anderson.
Right.
So it just made sense to go ahead and, you know, we've got a critical mass of veterans who are not getting any services. They need the boots on the ground that we can provide to them, and the stopgap between the VA and the needs that they have. So yeah, that's what we're about, and that's what we're trying to get done.
So do you guys go out and contact local VFWs and the American Legions and everything, looking for people that need help?
Yeah, absolutely. We what we do, Bill, is we try to partner with as many organizations in Spartanburg as we can, such as Home Depot, you know, those big box stores.
Right.
They help us tremendously with materials for our projects. We do wheelchair ramps, basic home repairs, yard cleanup. As you said at the outset, just those things that fall through the VA cracks is what we really try to focus on.
And all we typically do is we'll find out from people who know people who know people, kind of a thing.
Right.
And our name is starting to get out there. And what's been happening is we'll get a phone call from a vet, and typically it's those vets who are north 75, north of 80, that, you know,
need to
have things done, and their head tells them that they can still do what they did when they were 30, and their body says, you can't cash that check, pal.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is we try to jump in there and provide them what they need when they need it.
Every time I try something like that, my knee negotiates me down.
Right. Well, to wrap it, or to really simplify it, Bill, we crafted a mission statement.
Right.
And the first part of that is we build camaraderie, we develop purpose, and we provide assistance. Okay, we bring veterans together. Because one of the things that we miss is that camaraderie we had in the military.
Well, when that happens, these guys that might need a little bit of help, they relax when they know the boys are back and their boys are showing up to to help them with this.
Right.
So that's got to be that. I can see where that would go as far as how that would be something to do.
It's a good thing to get together weekly, because we find that there's a lot of people, a lot of old boys and gals that come to us every week, and that's really the only interaction that they have with people that they feel get them.
Right.
You know, so we debated for a while, do we want to go every other week, do we want to go once a month, and it became really apparent that we'd be doing them more of a service by meeting weekly consistently.
So are you partnered now with Upstate Warrior Solutions?
We are.
We have been for years. I've worked with Upstate Warrior. I know most of the staff in here.
Right.
Great staff.
Right.
Great staff here at Upstate Warrior. And
they're doers.
Yes, they are.
They
do a great job.
Yeah?
Great job.
No doubt about that. Absolutely. No doubt about that. I can see where you would want to look for that. So I guess going into the holiday season, is this a heightened activity time for you guys?
You know, the past month has been absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
With Veterans Day, which is a huge deal, raising money, fundraising for the organization around Veterans Day, the RAMP project that's coming up. Again, being our first year, we didn't really do a whole lot of, to the degree that we're doing now when we started, it was about a year ago.
Right.
What I'm anticipating is not a lot manual labor kinds of things. What I'm anticipating in this is more in line with our visitation team.
Sure.
Vets will
not
call.
Not being alone. Don't let them be alone.
Right. We're very close friends with 911 dispatchers who've told me that they get inundated with phone calls from veterans around the holidays. And it's not because they're considering, in some cases it is, that they're considering doing some really stupid, drastic stuff.
Sure.
But all they want more than anything is just somebody to talk to, just somebody who understands where they're coming from, and maybe feel like that they trust them.
Right.
to be able to just sit and listen to them. But I'm anticipating a lot more of that as we get closer to the holidays.
Well, that's active duty on. That's always what's happening. Yeah.
And that deal is really part of our mission statement, too, by developing purpose.
Right.
We bring these guys in that are kind of locked in their house, and we bring them together, build that camaraderie, and we give them something to do.
Outstanding. All right, Vets Helping Vets, Spartanburg, a very good group. Guys, I appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming up next, we'll be Chief Gary Brock from Elio Santa. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. I still see some food over there. I'm at Upstate Warrior Solutions, 770 Pelham Road. The Rupert Hughes Building, joined now by Chief Gary Brock of the Berea Fire Department. And we're going to talk about Elio Santa.
Elio Santa. Yeah. That's right.
So,
it's that time of year.
Now, Elio Santa partners a lot with first responders. How did that all begin? I know Rob is one of the driving forces, but tell me about the other stuff that goes on behind that.
So behind the scenes, you know, we got all of our personnel that sort of help out, collect toys throughout the year, look for sponsors, collect money for that. We got several different things that we've been sort of trying to push out. Going back to when this began back in 2014 with Jeremy Jones and his wife. Basically, you know, they put these toys in the back of a car and started distributing them to some areas that they knew that they were lacking something for Christmas. And, you know, it sort of has built on that. So it went to several cars. So last year, we were able to reach out and touch basically 6,500 kids. And
that's impressive.
Three, four gifts apiece. And we actually had about 700 kids that we helped in the schools. So our schools is a big supporter of this also. We get the resource officers to be able to interact with those kids that they deal with on a daily basis inside the schools.
Right. And,
so this big program that's going on with LAO Santa is, you know, a lot of times they're out there on a bad incident.
Right.
And, you know, that's what they see is then those police officers is basically having to take care of a situation out there that's not always pleasant. And this is to help bridge a gap so that they see law enforcement in a different perspective.
Sure.
And, you know, they, for what we're doing to make sure that we do bridge that gap, we want to see that smile on the face. And when we see those kids on that day that we do distribution,
right,
it also gives a little bit of closure on some of the stuff that we do. So we've been able to do this with what we've done, what the donations that come in, and what's been going on with this program for 10 plus years now. So hopefully this year we build on it a little more. We did something just recently, and I had a personal thing that happened to me back in 2014, right near Christmas. I had a family that perished in a fire, one-year-old.
Right.
And the kids made it out, but I never had got a sense of closure.
Right.
We started putting up smoke detectors, trying to take care of that, you know, early detection. But the one thing that I never did get to do was to put something back with the child. So we just incorporated a new program through LAO Santa that's called Reignite Hope. And when we have families that get burned out, you know, insurance comes along and they take care of the housing and the necessities.
Right.
But the kid's still left out. And so LAO Santa has come along, and we've partnered together to create this. Is we've basically taken these children that have lost all their belongings. We take them shopping, buy toys for them. So it's not just
everything they've known up to this moment.
And so those things are a part of what this program's about. Is like I said, is giving something back to our community for our kids, and it is built on several different things that, like I said, is taking the bad situation, making something good out of it.
How long is LAO Santa? It's like 24 hours?
So LAO Santa, we do a toy drive that's coming up. We do a 28-hour toy collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on, we start on December the 4th. That'll come out. They'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Anybody wants to come by and drop toys off, they can actually stop and visit. We'll have several trucks and cars and whatever else out there if they'd just like to get out, meet with some of the guys that are there. We will be there till the following morning at 10 o'clock.
The show's going to be there. I'm going to promote there, and anybody that doesn't stop with a toy, I'm going to have a potato gun. And I'm going to pop their car with a potato gun as it goes by if they don't drop a toy.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you've got to take a firm hand.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So come and drop. Make sure that you come by. That's the main thing. It's we're supporting back to the community, but support our law enforcement also.
Outstanding. Chief, thank you very much for swinging by.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it. LAO Santa, that's coming up. We'll be there when that happens. When we get back, we're going to talk to Misty Nicholson and Amaris Jenkins and the blood connection. I'm connected to that. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.